recording are those of the hosts and guests and are not...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And that this evening we have with us again my good friend Bill Sardi. But before we get to Bill, I just wanted to mention that this coming a week from Saturday, that's February the 3rd, there's going to be a showing of Aaron Russo's film Freedom to Fascism at the Rio Theater on Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. And I know that's not much of an interest to those people out across America, but 7 o'clock on the Friday the 3rd at the Rio Theater in Santa Cruz. And then I'm going to be speaking at the Granada Forum on the 1st of February. That's in Tarzana down in Southern California. And if anybody's interested in knowing about that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we'll tell you how to get to the meeting. That's the 1st of February at Tarzana in Southern California. But with that as the background, Bill Sardi is a health journalist. He really reads all the scientific literature that, well, most doctors just don't have the time to read. They're so busy. But Bill has a fantastic amount of information. If you haven't been to his website, askbillsardi.com or knowledgeofhealth.com. That's knowledgeofhealth.com. Let me suggest you go there because you'll get a lot of well-researched and well-thought-out information. Bill, thank you so very much for being with us again tonight, especially coming on short notice.
You bet. And, of course, I don't think I'm going to ever deliver as important as a message as I am this evening. So if you're nodding off, if it's getting a little late, try and prop yourself up on a pillow, because what we have to tell you tonight is, well, pretty earth-shaking. Something very, very big is going on in medicine.
All right, Fiver, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, of course, Arthur Agatston, author, South Beach Diet, place we last saw him, front page of the New York Times. And Arthur Agatston, A-G-A-T-S-T-O-N, is not only a popular author, but he's a well-known cardiologist. And Dr. Arthur Agatston is telling the story on the front page of the New York Times about how his patients aren't having heart attacks anymore. Yes, Dr. Arthur Agatston, a very well-accomplished cardiologist with 2,800 patients in his practice, only had 3 heart attacks last year and is losing money in his practice. He's making lots of money on his book, The South Beach Diet, and it's allowing him to practice preventive medicine. And so for the first time, he is able to see his patients. They're not getting heart attacks anymore. Now, this is a very big signal that something is up, something very big, and we'll tell you about it in just a minute after the break. It's something that's changing in America, and it has to do with the fraud. I said a fraud that cholesterol is the cause of heart disease.
And I hate to think of how many people out across America are taking the statin drugs, you know, because they're told if you don't take these statin drugs, you're going to die. Well, the trouble is that that's a half-truth. If you do take the statin drugs, you're going to die because everybody's going to die. But if you look at the statistics from large series and how many lives are actually saved in women and men over 69, well, I'm going to let Bill tell this story because it is an amazing story of one of the greatest frauds ever perpetrated on an intelligent population, or at least on a population. Well, Bill, you go right ahead with the story.
Well, what else is Dr. Arthur Agatston known for? Well, Dr. Arthur Agatston certainly did write the South Beach Diet book. He certainly is an accomplished cardiologist. But he's also the doctor that established the modern scoring system for calcification of your arteries. That's the main thrust of our story this evening. For you see, all in one fell swoop, not only did his story appear on the front page of the New York Times, but in Lancet, the British journal, Dr. Abramson from Harvard had to leave the country to get this article published again in a British medical journal, in the British journal called The Lancet. What is Dr. Abramson telling us? That statin drugs don't work. The analysis, 3/4 of the statin drugs that are prescribed are for prevention. The other quarter is for active treatment of patients with disease. So most of it's for prevention, and all the data shows it does not work for prevention. This is a big landmark, important day in history that this is announced. If you notice, Pfizer Drug Company has laid off 7,800 employees, intends to lay off 10,000. They're blaming it on the failure of their upcoming drug, which was supposed to raise good cholesterol. It failed, increased the mortality rate. They had to withdraw it from study. But it was more than that. It's this bigger story that 3/4 of the Lipitor that's sold in the United States is worthless. It only exposes patients to potential side effects.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Oh, no, go right ahead.
So what we have here is a very big story. And, of course, Dr. Kendrick is a British doctor, also writing a book, the Big Cholesterol Lie, and he's got a book out at the same week. So there's this big movement afoot now to make everyone aware that the statin drugs are worthless for prevention. Now, if you go into a cardiologist today or many internists today, they're going to talk you into a statin drug, even though you really haven't had a heart attack or anything, but you're going to have one unless you take this statin drug. Now, of course, we pointed it out before that maybe one out of 75 people who take a statin drug, maybe one out of 100, will avert a heart attack, not a mortal heart attack. They never tell this to the public. It's only a very few.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment. There we go right now. All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill is simply pointing out that as far as prevention is concerned, the large-scale studies of tens of thousands of patients have revealed that if this is being taken for prevention, if you're taking a statin drug to prevent a heart attack or to prevent a stroke, and you've never had a heart attack or stroke, it doesn't do any good. So 3/4 of all the statin drugs that are given for prevention, and there's not one study that shows that they work. If you have had a previous heart attack, certainly how many patients would have to be treated for everyone who benefited over a 5-year period?
Well, it's somewhere between 1 in 59 and 1 in 75, according to the latest studies, though some of them say about 1 in 100. But that's the high-risk group that already has cardiac problems, known events, heart attacks, strokes, and so on. So how many people would have to take a statin drug to benefit if it was just the preventive group? Where you're getting in middle age, your cholesterol numbers may be going up a little bit. If you haven't had any adverse events, you're not in a high-risk group at all, how many would benefit? The answer, zero. It does not work for prevention. It only works very, very marginally for the people in the high-risk group.
So you're talking about somewhere between 1 in every 50 or 1 every 100 people.
In the high-risk group only.
And I think that's what's so important. In other words, all these people are taking it, think it's going to help them, and between 1 in 50 and 1 in 100 of the people in the high-risk group will benefit, and the other 49 or 99 are going to be taking it with no benefit at all. Would you really want to take a chance of getting problems from all the side effects and complications of a drug that was going to give you somewhere between, 1% or a 2% chance of helping?
Well, I want the listeners to understand the fraud. If you invented a way of getting people to take a medicine based on a number going up or down, but the number had nothing to do with your mortality rate, you would now generate just as much treatment. You see, you wouldn't have real prevention. You'd still have your million-plus heart attacks a year. You'd still keep Wall Street working with all the drug stock companies and all the companies making stents and all the other things they do in cardiac care. You'd still be treating as many people, and you'd be churning this worthless medication on these people. And
you're talking really about a multi-billion dollar industry.
Well, understand, all the dietary supplements in the United States sold right now are about $14 billion. All of the dietary supplements. One statin drug that lowers cholesterol is Lipitor. They sell $14 billion of that one drug. So I want you to understand how big this is. And, of course, you're talking about Pfizer Drug Company in a financial collapse. Bristol-Myers reported today their last quarter they lost money. Merck is in trouble with Vioxx and skipped paying a $2 billion tax payment to the government, and they let them skip it for the last 2 years, or they would have been in bankruptcy. The drug industry is failing rapidly. I can't say it any stronger. The pharmaceutical industry is collapsing. The Democrats are now in control of Congress. They're demanding and requiring now that all the money they make on Medicare drugs, that all this be sent out for bid, that they get better pricing. During the Bush administration, prescription drugs have tripled in price without one politician raising a stink. The Democrats have this issue now. They're going after it because a great deal of the political money to support the political parties on both sides, but in particular the Republicans, has gone from the pharmaceutical industry to that party. So they're out after this now. It isn't about helping the American public or being responsible. These two parties are just out to take each other's funding sources away. You are just a pawn in this whole game. But nonetheless, this is how this goes, and there's a bigger part of the story. I want to get back to Dr. Arthur Agatston and the doctor who invented the calcium scoring mechanism for cardiac heart disease, these plaques that develop in your arteries, to show you what a fraud this is. If you look at the plaque, they have pathologists examine the plaque in arteries. And all this time we've been told that the plaque builds up, that it's cholesterol. It narrows the artery, the circulation can't get by, and eventually a blood clot forms, and then, of course, you've got a heart attack because you've got impaired circulation through one of the four or all four of the coronary arteries. But if we look at that plaque, only 3% of it is cholesterol plaque, and 50% of it is calcium plaque. Arthur Agatston developed the calcium plaque scoring system. It's been 6 years in the making. The American Heart Association has debated it over and over whether to allow and permit the CT scanning, called CAT scanning, for the calcium artery scoring, or to be permitted for people for preventive measures. They've now said for at least people in the risk groups, showing risk groups of traditional risk, cholesterol, overweight, other issues, angina, that they're going to permit. This was last October. This is the first time there's a committee with the American Heart Association that's been debating this. for 6 years. Various doctors have resigned from that committee. There's been dissension. The New York Times intercepted a press release from this committee and published it before it was supposed to go to press. There's been lots of contention. But the big signal on the wall is they're now permitting CT scans, and with it, since October, doctors are signing their patients up en masse for CT scans.
Now, could you explain to our listeners why this is important? In other words, what are they going to be able to determine? Are they going to be able to determine how much calcium is deposited in the arteries?
Well, here's the important part. If you and I go down to the doctor's office, we have an electrocardiogram. We get an angiogram. That's a dye test with a different way of looking. It's an X-ray type test. But with a dye, and they look at your arteries, that's how they see if the plaque's in there. So if we get one of those, we've got a clean bill of health. Our cholesterol is low to normal. Our blood sugar is fine. And all of our tests look good. Our electrocardiogram looks great. We can walk out of that office and die of a sudden death heart attack 300,000 to 500,000 times a year. People have heart attacks with low to normal cholesterol. Cholesterol does not explain a vast majority of the heart attacks that occur. There's over 1 million of them a year, but a great many of them have nothing to do, apparently, with cholesterol. And the doctors, being frustrated, have continued to write these cholesterol guidelines and say that we need lower numbers and lower numbers because what they were doing before wasn't working. Well, let's just lower the numbers when it was never cholesterol and it was always calcium. Let's see if I can convince you of that. So you and I can leave the doctor's office with a great bill of a clean bill of health, and we can still die of a mortal heart attack. But if we have Dr. Arthur Agatston's CT scanning and we get measured for our coronary calcium scoring in our arteries, and our calcium artery score is zero, our risk of dying from a heart attack is zero. Do you understand? It's calcium. It's not cholesterol. It has been calcium. Men calcify in their arteries long before women do. Women do in menopause, and as soon as menopause comes on, then the arteries calcify, they harden, and therefore what happens there is that they're... A risk of cardiovascular disease rises 360% with the onset of menopause. Now, what happens here is that, how do you erase this? First thing, so millions of people are on these statin drugs with only the risk of a side effect, liver side effects and so on, and no possible benefit. What is the American health authorities going to do? Well, this is a dilemma. The FDA's bought off. They should have immediately announced that patients should be taken off these drugs because they have no chance of having a benefit, health benefit, only the chance of a risk. But they continue. Even the FDA's own press releases indicate that the statin drugs produce far more benefit than the side effects. That cannot be said any longer. All of these cholesterol guidelines, all of the stuff written for your insurance company, all of the better go on a statin drug, all of these things are going to have to be erased and somehow rescinded, and we're going to have to put this calcium scoring mechanism in. Many of the good doctors are doing this now as we speak. The CT scanning is exposing you to radiation. Many people will not want to be exposed to the radiation. Some people may. If your score is over 400, you're in the high-risk group. I've had some people call me since this has been on our website. One person called me, had an Agatston score of 1,600, four times greater than the highest risk group had. So with a score of over 1,000, you've got a 20% chance of dying of a mortal heart attack within the next year. It's a very high risk. So... what happens here is that we need to take some action. Now, the action to take is simple. Vitamin D. It takes away the calcifications in our arteries, and of course there's other nutrients we can take, magnesium, rice bran extract, vitamin K, dark green leafy vegetables. All these will clean up the calcium plaque in our arteries.
And what a simple thing, certainly a lot simpler than the statin drugs, a great deal less expensive. But of course, the thing is that the pharmaceutical industry will lose the billions of dollars. Lipitor, $14 billion a year. I mean, a lot of this has been known for some time, but now, of course, it's really come out with solid scientific evidence, and we'll be back in just a moment with Bill Sardi to explore the great statin scam. Well, Bill, go right ahead with the story.
Well, Dr. John Prendergast, he's in private practice in the Redwood City area of California, and I heard a speech that he gave, and talking about in the next 2 years, we're going to see all of cardiovascular disease treated with dietary supplements. And what does he do? He uses vitamin D to get the calcifications out of your arteries, to stop the hardening of the arteries, which is caused by calcification. And then he uses arginine, which is an amino acid used to dilate or widen the blood vessels, and therefore to cause your blood pressure to drop within the normal range. So all he's using is high-dose vitamin D, about 5,000 units. And now you understand why all this time they have talked us away and steered us away from the vitamin D and told us it was too high a dose and all these things. And that is because they wanted to steer us away from the cure for cardiovascular disease. And so this is what's gone on. Some are leading the way, Dr. John Prendergast and others, talking to us, telling us about this, and, of course, letting us know. And he's actively doing this every day. They have a little way of measuring the elasticity of your arteries, and he's been showing this has been working. Some of the other doctors are picking up on it. You hear about chelation therapy, but you don't want to go for calcium EDTA treatment. Some of the treatments for chelation use calcium EDTA. It's a little drug that chelates, but that'll give you more calcium. If you're going to do chelation therapy, you want sodium EDTA. But the bigger thing is to do all this at home. And you want about 4,000 or 5,000 units of vitamin D. You want to be able to do this as soon as possible. We all need to be doing this. And, of course, as you know, you've heard on this program before, vitamin D at that dosage range is likely to lower the risk for cancer in the United States by 30 to 50%. So you're talking about one 10-cent vitamin, sunlight in a bottle, vitamin D, being able to lower the mortality rate significantly in both heart disease and cancer. This is a dramatic development, and this is why they've steered us away from the vitamin D. So-called high doses, if you take the 5,000 units, don't ask a pharmacist, doctor, dietitian. All of their textbooks and the way they were trained is that's an overdose, when that's totally untrue. And we've talked about going out in the sun in the summer for an hour at noontime in Arizona or a sunny state, where if we just had our swim trunks on, then we would total body sun exposure, we'd make about 10,000 units of vitamin D. I've never heard of toxicity from being out in the sun for an hour. So you might get sunburn, but not from vitamin D overdosage. So this is all a myth. They've kept this from us. Understand the breadth of the fraud. They had to carry off the whole fraud that vitamin D would be an overdose, and meaning they knew this all along. And then they developed the statin drugs to cure this. And what happened a month ago in one of the British medical journals? But they revealed that the statin drugs were initially developed as copies of vitamin D. They're toxic copies. They harm the liver. But they knew what vitamin D did, and they tried to make patentable molecules that did something like what vitamin D did, and that's what they did. They knew it from the beginning. The statin drugs worked on the vitamin D receptor.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and what Bill is simply pointing out is the fact that it has been found that vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin, actually tends to take the calcium out of the arteries, and actually, of course, it also has an anti-cancer effect. This has been known for a long period of time. In fact, the statin drugs were originally developed so it would be a molecule similar to vitamin D, so they could do the same thing, but now they could patent it. You see how you couldn't make much money out of vitamin D, so you discouraged people from using vitamin D, which they knew would actually prevent the calcification of the arteries and the progressive arteriosclerosis. They came up with the statin drugs, made $14 billion as one statin drug, Lipitor, this last year. And, of course, the thing is that, of course, you'd get the same effect from taking a 10-set vitamin D capsule. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, we now have some of the latest reports on vitamin D, and, of course, they've told us the exact opposite, that vitamin D actually causes calcification. And what they've hidden from us all this time, just been reported in one of the major medical journals, is that it's if you get very little vitamin D, your arteries calcify. If you get supra high doses, we're talking about 2 million units of vitamin D a day, then you'll also calcify because it helps the vitamin D helps the body utilize calcium better. So they've pulled this myth off on us. Don't use high dose vitamin D. High dose, they used 2 million in the animal studies, 2 million units, and then told us not to take 2,000 because that would be an overdose. I mean, what fraud this has been. And all the while, playing this game, this disease-mongering, to keep the treatment up, keep the patient sick, and keep the treatment mill going. And, of course, we're not talking about lumbago. We're not talking about hemorrhoids. We're not talking about pimples. We're talking about people living and dying from cardiovascular disease. And I don't know what's going to happen to cardiology. I don't know. And I don't know how they're going to explain to their patients that these statin drugs are worthless and that hundreds of thousands of Americans have been dying needlessly every year taking the wrong medicines. And that a simple dietary supplement or two would fix this problem. And, of course, one of the things we've mentioned before is one of the first things they'll do, because the end result of the plaque in your arteries is then a blood clot, so they give you the blood thinners. The blood thinners deplete you of vitamin K. Vitamin K is an anti-calcifying agent. It's in dark green leafy vegetables and so on. And, of course, they just make the problem worse. And so we're very frightened for the people on the blood thinners and so on. And you'd have no need for them but for the fact that they can't fix artery disease. So they know you're going to get a blood clot, so they put you on this, which is going to just hasten it on all the worse. You need vitamin K. It's an essential vitamin. It's important for your bone health and so on. Now they're finding it out to clear up calcifications. And so very, very important for us that we have a good diet. It's included in our diet. Maybe we get in a dietary supplement. Very, very important for us. And, of course, you know, if you really have highly calcified arteries, if you go down for one of these CT scans and the Agatston score is very high, well, then, of course, you might want to use some IP6 rice bran extract. How to use it is explained at our website at knowledgeofhealth.com, how to undergo a rice bran cleanse. It's nature's from rice bran. It's nature's way of cleaning your arteries out of calcium deposit. It keeps the calcium from crystallizing. So that's how it works. It also fixes kidney stones, gallbladder stones, and so on. Those are all calcifications as well. So, and of course, fish oil helps retard calcifications to some extent. Vitamin C does this by simply on the inside lining of your arteries are smooth cells called endothelium. As long as they're smooth, the calcium won't stick. So another way of retarding calcifications is to take vitamin C, and of course it works in a different way, like we say. So the red wine extracts, resveratrol, we've talked about those before on this program. Those work by anti-adhesion factors so that the calcium won't stick to the artery. Again, that's a good principle. And, of course, that works very well with vitamin C, so on, because you haven't got bacteria that'll stick there. You haven't got cancer cells, and now you won't have the, of course, the calcium plaque sticking. So it's healthy to keep your endothelium, your smooth cells on the inner lining of your arteries smooth, and you can do that with these nutrients. That's the way it all works. The red wine, resveratrol, does that as well.
And, of course, what we're talking about is we've been taking patients and putting them on very expensive medications that have all sorts of complications. When, of course, something very, very simple would have done a much better job. And, of course, what the statin drugs did was they lowered the cholesterol. You had a number, but it had no effect on as prophylactic against normal people of preventing heart attacks. We'll be right back in just a moment with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan here with Bill Sardi. Bill, pick the story up there.
Well, of course, the dairy industry is very strong in Washington, D.C. Milk does a body good is what we hear. We just saw that calcium's good for your health, public health announcement from our federal health authorities. And again, we keep hearing this all along, and all of this promoted by, the dairy industry paying off modern medicine to make all these messages. The dairy industry wants more and more calcium used. Nothing wrong with calcium. You need it for your health. It's in your diet. Now, Dr. Stephen Seeley, in 1991, a noted cardiologist in Britain, noted that in countries where the calcium consumption is the lowest, cardiovascular disease is non-existent. And that's true. In Japan, where in the rural areas in the past the consumption was about 450 milligrams a day, Americans consume about 800 to 900 milligrams of calcium a day. In those countries, they did not only not have osteoporosis, but they didn't have the coronary artery disease, as well as they didn't have the age-related rise in blood pressure as our age went up. You didn't see that there, whereas you see it here. So he pointed that out in 1991. That was in the International Journal of Cardiology. He pointed out that the statin drugs were the wrong way to go, and that the best antidote to all this was IP6 rice bran extract. At the time, he was totally ignored. You can read the report in the International Journal of Cardiology, and it's explained at knowledgeofhealth.com if you want to read the report yourself. We try to explain that all this was in the literature, that it was vastly ignored. We're told that women in menopause need 1,200 to 1,500 milligrams of additional calcium. And, of course, a man who I know had the CT scanning done, his calcium artery score was 1,600 when 400 is in the high-risk group. And, of course, his wife is trying to help him out in his age group and suggest that he start taking 2,000 milligrams of calcium a day. Please, take those calcium pills. Throw them away. It's okay. I know it's going to be hard for you, but what you really need to do is just, you'll get it out of the diet. Fish, beans, all kinds of foods have calcium. Even a vegetarian diet will get you 600 milligrams of calcium, which is totally sufficient. You'll not get osteoporosis from.
What you really need, of course, is the vitamin D, and of course that is what mediates the calcium metabolism,
right.
Not taking more calcium. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Bill Sardi is saying that so many people are encouraged to take large doses of calcium because the milk industry has the most wonderful television ads, and they have this slogan, milk does a body good. The trouble is milk with the calcium in it doesn't do a body good. There are all sorts of things we could talk about sometime about milk and the relationship to prostatic cancer and Parkinson's disease, etc., etc. But the important thing for this discussion is the realization that you do not need more calcium. When a woman goes through the menopause, why the estrogen begins to is not functioning, and so the calcium begins coming out of her bones. It begins getting deposited in her arteries, but the vitamin D will help to get the calcium back into the bones. But you pick the story up there, Bill.
One of the interesting things about cholesterol, this theory here that has been promoted, when you look around the countries of the world, the countries with the highest cholesterol have the lowest rates of cancer. I said it again. The highest rates of cholesterol are related to the lowest incidence of cancer. So, the Japanese, I looked it up, eat dietarily far more cholesterol. We think of their diets being low in fat and so on. Well, saturated fat, but they're high in cholesterol, and yet they have a very low cardiovascular disease risk there, even with the smoking and so on that they do. So what happened in Japan was a phenomena where they didn't have the... It's a jutting up out of the ocean. It doesn't have flat land for grazing with a lot of water. So what they have there in Japan is a lot of rice paddies. And so they don't have the cows and the steers. And therefore, what happens is they have to import that. And their consumption of meat and dairy is much lower than Americans. And that forced them to go offshore and to keep from starvation, to eat the sea vegetables, to eat the fish and so on. And, of course, that's what caused all of this to occur, this healthy lifestyle in Japan. It has to do with controlling the calcifications to a great deal. And another antidote we haven't talked about tonight, but we have before, is magnesium. Now, magnesium is nature's natural calcium blocker. There are calcium-blocking drugs prescribed. This is a 10-cent one. It works quite well. You're going to go down to the drugstore. The dietary supplements are going to live up to their reputation of poor quality, and you're going to get magnesium oxide. It's the most common form sold. It is only 4% absorbed. So you want to get one of the other better forms, magnesium citrate, or magnesium glycinate, magnesium malate. There are different forms. Just avoid the oxide form of magnesium. 200 to 400 milligrams a day. If you get loose stool out of it, it's like milk and mag. You can back off the dose a little bit. But this, again, is another wonderful anti-calcium antidote, and it works quite well. So we mentioned vitamin K. We've mentioned vitamin D. We've mentioned vitamin C. We've mentioned fish oil and vitamin K. So those are the ones that we've mentioned, and now magnesium. So a number of antidotes to all this.
And how about the IP6?
The IP6, yes. So the list gets longer. I'm not keeping them all in mind. But and of course, the IP6 is used when it really is a rescue remedy, and people should do this maybe once or twice a year in order to just clean your arteries out. Very important to do this. Just clean out all the calcifications. Your kidneys calcifying, your gallbladder, so on. All of these areas of the body are calcifying. So you want to clean that out, and a wonderful way to do it was the IP6 Rice Brand Cleanse. Go to knowledgeofhealth.com. It explains how to do it there. But there's so many natural ways to do this. And modern medicine really doesn't have a good way. There's chelation. Some of the alternative medicine doctors do it with EDTA. It's quite expensive and time-consuming. And $4,000 or $5,000 to undergo a number of chelation treatments. And then you have your calcium-blocking drugs, but they have side effects because of the way they work. So natural medicine has the upper hand here. I want to say that modern medicine is running scared. If they don't realize it now, when Dr. Arthur Agatston on the front page of the New York Times is announcing that his patients don't have heart attacks anymore, that's the sign right there. The patients in the American public is going to start demanding that kind of a doctor, and the rest of the doctors are going to lose patients, and the race is on.
Well, now, tell us about what Dr. Arthur Eggleston does so his patients do not get the heart attack.
Well, he's largely promoting a dietary approach to all this. But he has promoted and is certainly aware of the calcium scoring and the importance of that kind of an issue, of looking at the calcium risk issue, and he's the one who developed the calcium risk mechanism. So I'm sure in his diets and so on, he's recommended this, and there's no question that diets can work quite well in remedying this situation, and he's proving it. So he has the book, The South Beast Diet. It's a sensible diet. He's talked about it quite often. That book has sold 20 million copies, and I believe it's going to sell another 20 million. So I believe Dr. Arthur Agatston has opened the door. Pride opened the door for Americans. If we can just get this message to our loved ones, if we can just overcome our cholesterol phobia that's been pounded into us all these years, that cholesterol is bad for us. They've never, you know, the most cholesterol-rich food is eggs, and I can cite one study after another. They've never proven that eggs raised your circulating cholesterol numbers. As you eat eggs, the cholesterol that your liver produces is reduced. So dietary cholesterol, it actually turns out to lower your risk for cancer. It's actually somewhat beneficial for you. You need cholesterol in order to make your sex hormones. So many men and women are being treated today for infertility, low testosterone levels, and so on. And yet, you need that cholesterol in order to make your sex hormones. So we wonder what the agenda was with this all along. Was this just another way of bringing down the birth rates in the United States? We never had fertility clinics in your grandmother's and grandfather's era. We have them today. Why do we? So lots of questions in our minds as we kind of wonder what the agenda was. But a bigger, more selfish agenda was simply to keep the number of patients that need to be treated, keep them at the same high numbers, but give patients the false sense of security that they had numbers that were under control. And this is exactly what went on. So it's unfortunate. We've been all misled by this. I talked to so many adults who still just eating egg whites and won't touch the yolk and all these things. It's going to be very hard for modern medicine to admit that it took us down the wrong road, and millions of Americans have met their early demise when they could have lived a long, healthy, and happy life. So I don't know who is going to break the news to the public. Obviously, our public health authorities are the ones to mandate this. They're not taking any action. This whole story, the way I'm telling it to you, is not coming to you from American news media. They know what's going on, but they're not bringing it to you. It's coming to us from Europe in the British medical journals, and a doctor there who's now written a popular book that the cholesterol whole issue is a lie. And so, you know, as this goes on, I just don't know how it's going to unfold. I do know that we're witnessing the collapse, the financial collapse of the major pharmaceutical companies. I don't know where this is going to sort out, except to say with so many natural antidotes that the next step now to save the pharmaceutical companies would be to declare all of the dietary supplements risky and to declare them drugs, and to take them off the market and make them doctor-prescribed only. That's exactly what's going on. Congress enacted the adverse event reporting for dietary supplements. They're going to try and pin the tail on the wrong donkey and say that the dietary supplements are unsafe and declare them drugs as they have in Europe, make the doctors control them. The doctors will go along with the whole idea out of their own selfishness, and you will have to go to a doctor to get the vitamins, at least the higher doses ones, and this is what's going to go on. There's a massive effort now to declare these dietary supplements as unsafe. So unless the public expresses outrage and does something, they could still do all this on a Friday night in the middle of the summer when we're all on vacation and pass a law that the dietary supplements are now drugs. And so, you know, this all could happen. And unless we're vigilant and say something about it, and of course we need to be aware that this is their agenda. The only way they can save these pharmaceutical companies is to do what they have done in Europe. And understand, our vitamin companies are not on our side. They're not on the public side, because if you do make these dietary supplements into drugs, the vitamin companies are all going to make billions of dollars. They'll become part of the drug companies. They'll be bought out. Now they'll be their owners will make lots of money. So we don't know who really is on our side, except the public's getting the shaft. And you know, you need to learn how to use dietary supplements. You need to get over your phobia about the dietary supplements. You need to get over your phobia about cholesterol, and understand that we've been massively misled as a population. And to learn more about this and to walk away until your doctor learns this on his own.
And of course, I think it's so important that people understand all the complications of the stuff, drugs which really don't do any good at all if you are not in a high-risk group. And even if you are in a high-risk group, between 1 in 50 and 1 in 100 will benefit, and the other 49 or 99 will get no benefit. And these are the large-scale studies that have been done, but they're not telling you that. Oh, if you don't take this drug, you're going to die. Well, let me suggest that, you know, the statin drugs certainly lower the coenzyme Q10. Many times it can lead to heart failure or weakness in the muscles. It can produce muscle degeneration, rhabdomyolysis. There's a definite relationship in certain studies, certainly between the lower cholesterol and the incidence of cancer. A definite relationship between the lowering of cholesterol and dementia and your mind not working clearly, and all sorts of muscle aches and pains. And I'm sure you hear these stories all the time from the people you talk to, don't you, Bill?
Well, the patients think they have arthritis. They don't realize it's their statin drug. And, you know, we have massive... They claim that the risk of side effects with statin drugs is only 2%. But if the benefits are zero, then you're at greater risk for side effect and no benefit, so therefore they all should be stopped. They claim there's a tremendous 30% drop in cardiovascular risk. This 30% drop is a relative number, so it's not a real hard number. It's not 3 out of 10 people. And so what they're doing is taking a relative number and using it. And so we're misled on all of these, but it's our own public health authorities that go along with it. They analyze the drugs. They know what the risk numbers are, and it's the FDA and so on who's going along with the charade. And the public then thinking that they're getting some benefit out of it. So it's a very, very difficult time as our own public health authorities have colluded with the pharmaceutical companies and so on, and of course many millions of Americans have died, many will this year, until this is straightened out and the public can walk away with their own strength and get healthier. Start with vitamin D. It's the easiest thing because it does so many other good things for you. It helps control your weight and your mood and diabetes and so many other things, but autoimmune disease, the list goes on. So there's so many things. It's a wonderful way to start. Put the calcium bottle aside, get some magnesium, eat more dark green leafy vegetables, undergo a rice bran cleanse if that's your choice. Regardless of you knowing your calcium artery score, regardless of what the number is, you should do all these things. So a lot of people maybe can just forego having those tests and simply just begin such a regimen. You should anyway. So certainly the postmenopausal females should. Certainly all of this is very important for anybody of advanced age, over 50 and so on. And very important if you have high blood pressure and so on, all those pills you're taking don't address the calcifications. You're going to continue to have the hardening of your arteries and artificially trying to lower your blood pressure numbers with side effects from those same drugs. So,
well, Bill, somebody just called in, and although you've addressed this, I would you mention it again? The question is, do postmenopausal women need calcium to prevent osteoporosis? And the answer?
No.
No.
And the answer is real clear. Let me make it make sense to the women that are listening. What happened to all the women as they became 40 and then 50 and then 60 and the osteoporosis set on? Were they just stopping eating calcium? Was that the problem? No. They know that isn't the problem. The problem was they lost their hormones. Now, when they lost their estrogen, the estrogen was sending a signal to control and keep the calcium in their bones. Sends a signal to do that. Now, we need the signal back. We don't need more calcium. So how is it that you taking calcium orally, and that's going in your arteries, then it's coming out of your bones and going into your arteries, you're making artery disease worse? Now, what women need, simply is to get an estrogen-like molecule back in their diet that's very weak, that sends the same signal to hold the calcium in your bones. Now, the Japanese girls do this every day by eating fermented sources of soy. And it's the tempeh and the miso has concentrated sources of what are estrogen-like molecules. They're very weak, about the 1,000th the strength of your estrogen. Notice modern medicine makes us phobic about these too. But we can't go back on estrogen replacement therapy. And we put the women through all of the menopausal symptoms and then the osteoporosis and then the decline in their mood, and we put them on the antidepressants. And now finally the artery disease over this whole agenda, when all you really need to do is simply go down and get some flaxseed meal. 2 tablespoons of crushed flaxseed. You can crush it yourself if you want. Flaxseed meal, it's for every woman from 18 to 98, and that will give you a weak plant estrogen, and that will get you through PMS. It will get you through the menopausal period. It will hold the calcium in your bones. It lowers the risk of breast cancer. It does so much for you. So 2 tablespoons of flaxseed meal for women, and then that will really fix all of this. That's what they primarily need, is to get a small amount of a safe estrogen back into their system. And when I say safe, it's very weak. Phytoestrogens or plant estrogens raise your hormone levels if they need to be raised. They lower them if they're too high. So they're normalizers.
Okay, and remember, it's knowledgeofhealth.com. That's knowledgeofhealth.com. All right, Bill, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Of course, if you're just listening in, we're just going to try and recap for you the momentous week that this has been, as it's been announced that cholesterol is, the statin drugs do not lower your risk of mortality. The great amount of those drugs are being used for preventive measures. They do not work. That the discovery is that calcium plaque, not cholesterol. 50% of the plaque in your arteries is calcium, only 3% is cholesterol. You can walk out of your doctor's office with a clean bill of health, with low cholesterol numbers and a good electrocardiogram, and all the other risk factors are low, and have a sudden death heart attack. But if your calcium artery score is zero, your risk of having a heart attack is zero. And that makes all the sense in the world. We need to be understanding there's a great shift going on in modern medicine. They've now approved the CT scanning. The doctors are racing to go there. The question is, will the doctors fess up with this whole fraud that's been pulled off on the American public? Who's going to tell them? Who's going to pull away the statin drugs? It's not going to be our public health authorities. They're too close to the commercial interests. Make sure you and your family get this story right and, of course, learn more about it and back away from these medicines, including all the blood pressure medicines and all this. Get yourself on the vitamin D. Maybe use some of the arginine if your blood pressure's up. You can use about 1,500 milligrams a day. Learn to use these natural medicines. It's your only chance. It's your only way out. They do not have prescription medicines that fix these problems. And you and your loved ones will live long and healthy, and certainly without all the side effects that come from these drugs. It's a wonderful time. Finally, we've got them on the run. The truth is coming out. All we need to do is get the public to notice this and take action and demand that you find doctors who practice in the manner that we've explained here on the program this evening. So for many of you, don't suffer with this. If you're over 50 and so on, you have calcification in your arteries. You can be pretty sure of this, and you want to take measures to reverse this, which you can, and it'll be readily corrected. Start with the vitamin D, as we suggested, and use the rest of the remedies as we outlined, and stick with nature. It doesn't have the side effects or the cost.
Well, our guest this evening has been Bill Sardi. His website is knowledgeofhealth.com. That's knowledgeofhealth.com. Let me recommend you go there. You get the information. Remember, you are responsible for your health. God bless you, Bill. Thanks very much. This is an exciting story.
Good night.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this was, I think, a very, very important program. If you'd like to get a copy of it, it's available from Radio Liberty. You can go to knowledgeofhealth.com, Bill Shoddy's website, and get the information. We have a 4-tape set on statin drugs. It's a scam, ladies and gentlemen. It has been a scam for a long time, and some people knew exactly what was going on. But when you're dealing with a $14 billion a year drug, that's just Lipitor alone. Just one drug, $14,000, $14 billion a year. Why, of course, they're not going to tell you the truth. And now this information is coming out. Go to knowledgeofhealth.com. Pull down Bill Sonny's articles. We have a short little book on statin drugs. We have a 4-tape set on statin drugs. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And you're going to have to learn how to take care of your own health. Certainly, we carry Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And we've been lied to for years. And it's not that the doctor would lie to you intentionally. He just doesn't know, because they send the drug salesmen and drug salesmen around to the doctor's offices, very attractive young people, and they tell the doctor exactly what the drug company wants them, you to believe, the physician to believe. And then you watch television and you see that smiling face saying, "You ask your doctor if our product is good for you," knowing full well that they've had the detailed people out there telling the doctor what to believe. Of course, they control many of the medical journals. They control many of the medical organizations. They finance them. If you'd like to know how the system really works, we carry a wonderful book called The Truth About the Drug Companies, written by Dr. Marcia Angel, formerly the editor of the New England Journal, the most prestigious medical journal in the United States, on the staff at Harvard. And because she told the truth about the drug companies, they went after her with fang, she's to the point she will not answer her emails. I've repeatedly tried to get her onto our programs. That's Dr. Marcia Angel's book, The Truth About the Drug Companies. We have a book by Dr. Strand, Death by RX. That's Death by RX. So many of the things that people are taking are not healthy for them. If you'd like to get our health catalog, we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. You just call us at 1-800-544-8927. And I will tell you that there's so many things that you need to be taking in the way of health supplements, because you're going to have to keep your family healthy. And you can prevent so many of these diseases by proper nutrition and exercise. These things are so vitally important, but you do need the vitamin supplements. You're not getting enough vitamin D, because most of us are not out in the sun on a regular basis. Our bodies do not create vitamin C, so we need to be taking that in supplements. There are things that you need to have that you can take when you get a cold or start coming down with the flu to actually ward that off. And if you'd like more information, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, or better still, we'd be glad to send you a free copy of the health catalog. And then, of course, how do you begin to put this into perspective? You need to see my talk, Planned Population Reduction. Planned Population Reduction. You need to get my monograph. It's up on my website for nothing. It's called the Population Control Agenda Monograph. Or you can get our 4-tape set on population control, our video on population control, or our population control special. You need to understand why we still have cancer. There have been treatments for cancer for a long period of time. They've been actively suppressed. You'll certainly want to get the 4-tape set we have, The New Order of the Barbarians. The 4-tape set, Why Do We Still Have Cancer? The 4-tape set on genocide, they're all available from Radio Liberty. 1-800-544-8927. Why would anybody want cancer? Because there are too many people in the world, ladies and gentlemen. There are too many people, and we're using up their natural resources. Pray for America. Please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're up against organized evil at the highest levels of society. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and of course, the views of our guests. Now, before we get to our special guest this hour, I do want to mention that if you live in Southern California, I'll be speaking at the Granada Forum a week from yesterday, that's the 1st of February. I guess that's a week from today. At the Granada Forum and in Southern California. And if you'd like more information on it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then certainly on the 3rd of February here in the Monterey Bay area, where they're going to be showing Aaron Russo's film, and that's going to be that's Freedom to Fascism, a great film. We recommend it strongly, and that's going to be at the Rio Theater at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening, the 3rd of February, and that's in Santa Cruz, where Soquel and Seabright come together. And that is the background. Let's get to our very, very special guest this evening, Barry Shamus. And Barry is a Jewish patriot, who's Israeli patriot, who's very concerned about what's happening to his country. And, of course, he's been working for many years to try to educate the Israeli people about, really, the degree of wickedness at the highest level of their government over there. He has written extensively on the murder of Rabin, Prime Minister Rabin, who was actually not murdered by some lone Lee Harvey Oswald-like character. He was killed by the intelligence agencies over there in Israel. And Barry has been trying to get the people over there to understand that the leaders of Israel are intent upon destroying the state of Israel. That the leaders of Israel, people like Olmert and certainly Sharon and the others, are simply extensions of the Council on Foreign Relations that dominates America, that has an entirely different agenda. And, of course, right at the present time, Israel is certainly on the verge of another war. Israel is on the verge of extinction, and this could very well happen if we have a nuclear exchange in the Middle East, and if there is to be an attack on Iran, it would have disastrous consequences for the state of Israel as well. So, with that as a background, Barry, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Oh, it's actually a pleasure in its own awful way. I'm glad you're out there, because not many people are hearing what's happening to Israel, at least the way they should be hearing it. So, I mean, this, at least we're doing something, maybe, to inform people. Israel is fighting two wars right now. It's fighting a war against the world, but more serious, it's fighting an internal war against the religious Jews. And this is what people don't understand, that Israel's got a civil war going on, and people are dying. I got a phone call from Israel. I got a wonderful friend there named Tova, and she told me that our mutual friend, Rena Kushland, from Kiryat Sefer, was on a political walk, let's say, near Efrat, to protect Efrat from a new wall that's going to separate half of Gush Etzion, and it's going to in short, it's going to wreck Gush Etzion without going into it. And she straggled behind with a friend. Seven Arabs jumped her. They stabbed her. She's had three operations so far. They got into her liver. This is a friend of mine.
Hold that. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Barry Shamus. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry, what you're basically saying is that Israel is moving into a state of lawlessness. Would that be a fair statement?
There has been, in the past week, a series of murders and of prominent religious, largely Lubavitch kids the following accidents have, accidents, don't believe that for a second, but the following have taken place just north of Eilat. You have three Chabad boys in the car. They were, three out of the four were children of very prominent rabbis. The rabbi, for instance, of Beit Sha'an, a very serious Chabad center, he lost his son in this accident. But what do you know? It was followed the exact same spot by the same accident. The driver in both cases said, out of nowhere, the lights came at us and kaboom. We swerved and we died. That was Ami Popper. Now, Ami Popper killed seven Arabs a number of years back, and the Arabs want him dead. And I guess somebody told Olmert, you'd better kill him, but they actually killed his wife and two of his children. This was followed by Rabbi Ginsburg in Ramat Aviv. Ramat Aviv is where the Frankish Sabbatean Jews live. It's their suburb. He put up a yeshiva there. They hated it. His grandson was run over by a swerving car. Now we've got this amazing thing. Yesterday it was all over the Israeli news. Nisim Ze'ev of Shas, religious party, member of the Knesset Foreign Affairs Committee, has a drink of water from the thermos serving his table. And what do you know? He starts vomiting, then passes out. In the hospital, they found he was filled with poisons. Well, how do you get the poison inside the Knesset all the way to the Foreign Affairs Committee? Now, whether it was aimed for everyone or just Zaev, yesterday Zaev went on public TV and he said, they're trying to kill us. Somebody tried to poison me. Inside the Knesset. Now, I don't want to add up. That's about 10 dead bodies of only the highest, most influential realms of Israel's religious population. These are murders. Now, the big murder, of course, was Yuri Stern, whose doctors, and I proved this. I sent out an email. It got to lots of people, and I hope even more. Yuri Stern was quoted as saying his doctors didn't know what was causing him the pain. They couldn't find the source of his disease. However, he died of it.
We'll be back in just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, what Barry is pointing out is that there's a war against the religious Jews over in Israel, and you have to understand there's all different groups over there. There's not just Jews. I mean, the religious Jews, there's the atheist Jews, there's the Zionist, or the Frankish Jews, which are part of a Sabbatean sect, and then there are just a lot of people over there who don't have any idea, but the religious Jews are under attack because they're the ones who hold very strongly to this belief that God has given them the right to this land. So pick up the story there.
In short, there's a war going on, and there's people dying. Now, my friend Rena, after she was stabbed in the liver and went through three operations, not a word was said in the media about the pain she was going through. Not a word. And there's no police investigation to catch her murderers or attempted murderers. The Israelis will not investigate Arabs anymore.
No, was this actually in Israel itself? Is this in one of the, in certainly one of the settlements?
Gush Etzion, outside of Frat.
All right, fine.
And this is, again, the Israeli police won't investigate who tried to murder her. And it's not like they weren't witnesses. There were lots of witnesses. There were seven Arabs, and they stabbed her, and then the group came back when she started screaming. And there were witnesses, but the police won't investigate. Now just understand, there is a war to wipe out the religious of Israel. And if you don't understand that, then you don't understand why they want the settlements uprooted, the horror they did to Gush Katif, the continuing torture of the Gush Katif refugees. You know what? This is already the time. I have a new book. It's called Bye Bye Gaza. Read about how the Israeli government sold out Gush Katif through its own leadership.
Now, I think for our listeners, of course, Gush Katif is in Gaza, and this is where they went in, and they took these people who had been living there for several generations, some of them, and they simply forcibly took them from their homes at the point of a bayonet, and they brought them back to Israel. They turned this area over to the Palestinians, and, you know, this was a very lush, productive area, certainly. You know, they were producing, what, about half the food that was used in Israel?
No, it wasn't a lush area at all. It was sand dunes.
No, I know, but they were able to actually produce there in the greenhouses.
How much
of the food were they actually producing?
They were producing lettuce and carrots, things without bugs on them. For religious reasons, they found ways of producing vegetables without any contamination, and lots of flowers. Now, in short, the government took away 25% of Israel's agricultural productivity, and they tortured the people. Look, you go to Lulu, LULU.com, and you type my name in search, and my new book can be downloaded for a crummy $10. For $10 and 292 pages, you'll find the shenanigans my government is playing against the religious. What people don't understand is that they've destroyed the heart of Israel. In the Gaza Strip, when they took away the patriots, the people who separated the Qassam Rockets from the rest of Israel, they destroyed Israel. And it's already been done. This is just the end game, but it's going so fast right now. But like I say, Lulu.com, right in Shamash, download the book, and you'll find out what's going on. It's my latest book. Now, there's something going on even higher than the human, and it's all connected to the Vatican. And this is something people don't understand, is when Katsav went to the Vatican last January, I'm sorry, the January before last, and he refused to negotiate for Mount Zion, he signed his own death warrant.
Now, who is this you're speaking
about? Our president.
All right.
Our president is now being indicted for rape charges, and yesterday he told the truth. He said, all of Israel is going to be shocked at my trial when I tell what I know. I mean, he hinted at destroying Paris. He managed to become president because he defeated Shimon Peres. Now, he did not play ball. Peres was going to, as president, represent the Vatican in Israel and give away the country. He was going to give away Jerusalem. Katsav had to replace Peres and did not agree to it. Katsav, I wrote this the day that Peres was defeated, that Katsav is a dead man.
Yeah.
Peres will never forgive him. And now they got to him.
And of course, what they've done, what they've done, they've indicted the president of Israel for rape. And he's on rape charges, and now he's going to have to stand trial on these rape charges. And even if he were to win the trial, why, of course, he's totally discredited for life. So this is, of course, here in the United States, why, of course, we could have Bill Clinton. He could, these things could come out, and nothing's ever done. There's a little scandal, but certainly nobody forces him to resign from his position. So pick the story up there.
Well, Clinton was almost impeached, so I'm not so sure, but that's true. But neither here nor there. Look, I'll give you an example of how sex is used. And there was someone, I was at a conference in Binyanei HaUmah in Jerusalem. I guess it's the building of the peoples. And I stepped next door to the Hilton just to relax a little bit. And Steve Rodan passes me by. He is the security affairs writer for the Jerusalem Post. And he says, is that your Fiat out in the parking lot? And I say, no, I'm driving a Skoda. And he says, thank you. And then this fantastic woman sits opposite me, and she is highly exposed. And I'm a little surprised by this, my visitor, but ignore her until she walks away leaving the purse on the table. Now, a normal person is going to tell her, madam, you forgot your purse, and then you have an introduction, God knows what else. I let her do this about four or five times. I thought to myself, one, I'm married, and what am I going to do this for? She's coming back time after time. The idea is to attract my attention. I actually thought this thing out. And I knew that there are lots of women working for their secret services, and that's what their role is, to screw up men. Getting Katsav, the police getting him, getting witnesses against him, by going back 30 years in his history, is not all that shocking. You don't understand, listeners, that Shimon Peres right now is running the show. He wins two ways. If Olmert, and we'll get to him shortly, but if Olmert is indicted and he loses and has to step down, well, Peres is number two in the government. He's deputy prime minister. He takes over.
And of course, they're going after Olmert because of some financial shenanigans before he was the premier. Is that right?
He was finance minister. It's not that long ago. Peres wins two ways. If Katsav resigns, well, he gets to be, run for president, and they're arranging it that it's an open vote, and then people will vote for him. It's in closed votes when they know that he murdered Rabin, and now many people know that he knocked off Sharon as well, that they're not going to vote for Peres. That's how he lost last time. I've explained this to many people, that the issue of Peres killing Rabin is well known in Israel, and when he ran, that issue killed him. Now, remember, if he runs against somebody else for president, he is going to win because he'll know who didn't vote for him, and he'll take care of these people. It's a terrifying world of the mafia, but this is what runs Israel. Now, Peres is going to become something in a mighty big hurry. He either takes over from Olmert or he takes over from Katsav. But you have to understand everything, not from the CFR, and we'll get to Condoleezza Rice. You have to understand this from the Vatican. This is where you have the big, big problem right now. The Vatican is taking over. And I'm not talking right now in some future day. They've now got the Israeli government. Now, we know that Olmert was invited to the Vatican. And we know that he was returned to Israel with instructions get rid of the roadblocks that are protecting Israel's cities. There, I have read the figure 47 are vital, and they protect the likes of Netanya, Rishon LeZion, Tel Aviv. You don't lift them, that's asking for a mass pogrom. But Olmert came back to Israel, and that's what he asked for. He asked for the roadblocks to be lifted. Now, Olmert, when he was in Italy, as we have discussed before, arrived and found out there was nobody guarding the Israeli or Jewish sites of Rome. The police roadblocks were lifted. The city was ripe for a pogrom. And Olmert got the message. Now, why he tried to do the same thing for Israel is anybody's guess, but he did. Now, after this, two events took place. First event is Condoleezza Rice, was she before China or after?
I think she was before China.
Then we have got our, I hear music.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment. Certainly what Barry is saying is that when Olmert went to Rome recently, ordinarily, of course, they had Italian guards in front of the Jewish embassy and for the Jewish school, the Jewish synagogue there. And when Olmert's going to come, suddenly all of the protection for the Jews of Rome is removed. Why? Well, we'll be back in just a moment. Pick up the story there, Barry.
Okay, now Olmert comes back to Israel, and then Condoleezza Rice. No, I'm sorry, she was after China. She was after China. China was on the 11th. Now, here is a very, very amazing story that I put out on the Internet, and lo and behold, I'm the only one who noticed something quite fantastic. I asked the question, what was Olmert doing in China? And that's not a small question. It's not like the Israeli Prime Minister is invited to China every day. Now, you know that Olmert's not going on behalf of himself. He isn't smart enough. But he's in China, and all we get to see are pictures of him milking cows. And I'm wondering, why is he in China? And then it hits. On the 11th, the second day of Olmert's trip to China, the Chinese did something spectacular. They knocked down a satellite in space. From 500 miles away, they knocked down a weather satellite. They invented Star Wars. This was a fantastic thing to happen. And lo and behold, Ehud Olmert was there. Now, people say to me, well, it could have been a coincidence. And I say, well, if you're the head of security for the KGB or for the CIA, you're not going to think it's a coincidence. You're going to ask what he's doing in China when this thing is going off. And the implications are fantastic. But as I wrote in my most recent article, Iran has a Russian spy satellite. It's called the Sinai 1. It looks at Israel. It watches little old Israel get up in the morning, watches every flight in its sky. Israel cannot, well, if Israel was planning anything against Iran, it certainly can't with this satellite staring at her. So we have this option where China can knock it out of the sky if it wants to. Now, why would it want to is a major question. Well, there's a lot of Arabs who really don't want Iran to get too strong, and there may be all kinds of messages going underground, but one thing is for certain. Olmert was there when China started a new era in human history. The era of space wars.
Well, Chris, but Barry, the one thing is that China has a lot of strong economic ties and contracts and agreements with Iran as far as, you know, their oil, the development of their oil fields, and even putting in oil lines from Iran to China, and China needs Iran's oil. So why would they even consider taking out Iran's satellites?
Again, I'm not the fly on the wall on this one. This part is speculation. But one thing is for certain, there is an Iranian satellite and China can take it out. And you can be sure, if you are the head of the secret services of Iran, you're plenty worried. Okay? Now, what has been the reaction of this amazing event? Well, Russia yesterday knocked down a satellite. That's right. Russia has joined the space war. Next, the Vatican held a two-day meeting on China, in which at the end they decided to shore up ties and head towards normalization.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Gers Berry is pointing out all sorts of unusual things. Premier Olmert, A premier there of Israel, is over in China on the very day that they put up a rocket and take out a weather satellite. Now, this is an amazing accomplishment to be able to hit a satellite, you know, 500 miles up in space. And so they now have shown that they not only can take out their own satellites, why, they can take out our satellites as well. And if they were to do that, they would totally blind America's military capacity. And then Barry is saying that the Russians did that just a day or two ago. Is that right, Barry?
Yesterday.
All right. I didn't read about that. So now the Russians now can take out satellites in space. And what are they really telling us? Well, I think they're telling the Americans, you know, you go too far out of line. We take out your satellites, you can't function because everything the Americans has, our guided missiles, our guided bombs, are dependent upon the availability of the satellites up there to guide them. So pick the story up.
Well, yeah, this telephone is bouncing off a satellite. America would be hurtled back, the whole world would be hurtled back to the 16th century if they knocked out all the satellites. And you know what? This story is being played down, and I'm not sure why, because this is an extremely important story. Where the satellites are no longer safe, warfare is going to be extremely different in the near future. But Olmert was there to watch it. Now remember, Olmert doesn't go on his own. At a minimum, he's showing the Western Alliance that he has options. And at a maximum, the satellite technology was Israeli. The satellite killer, maybe it came from the Falcon airplane project of 1990, which had to be transferred to China. We don't know exactly why Paris got Ehud Olmert got invited to this fantastic display. But when he got back, we have finally the visit of Condoleezza Rice. Now, I want to tell you a few things that happened that are extremely frightening. Number one, the business with C.P. Livni, our foreign minister. They give her a really easy thing to remember, something with the word political horizons, and she gets so confused, she muffs the whole speech. Everyone thinks she's nuts, okay? All over, they're making fun of this incredible speech. She couldn't remember two lines that Condoleezza Rice and her people had ordered her to recite. Now, what does Condoleezza do with this wacko's empty-headed speech by Livni? She claims that she was inspired by it and that she, too, is seeking new political horizons. Everything there, everything, is stage managed. Everything. And people have to remember that. The CFR and their reps, from Condoleezza back to Colin Powell and so forth, they're all doing fake stuff. And Powell, by the way, was amongst the worst at it, that there would be a leak in the press room, and someone would say, yes, but Ari told us that. And he would turn around and said, Ari told you that. All of this was pre-prepared. They did that in Israel. They made C.P. Livni give a speech, and Condoleezza bought it. And that speech was to lift the 47 damn roadblocks again. She tells Olmert that he's got to lift the roadblocks.
Now, could you explain to our listeners why that's important? The roadblocks are being put up to keep the Palestinian terrorists out of Israel, so you know you won't have to worry about them coming in. Lifting the roadblocks means that the terrorists can come in and begin to create chaos. Why would anybody advocate that?
Well, what it means is that Condoleezza Rice and the Vatican are working hand in hand. That's what it means. And you have to understand why Olmert is so scared right now. You're talking about the Western Alliance has decided that Israel goes. There's no more Israel. They've made this decision. And he's aware of this. Now, don't underestimate how dirty Olmert is. On the last show, I believe we talked about these 9/11 ties. Oops, there's the music.
Go ahead. I'll tell you when to be quiet. Go ahead.
The 9/11 ties takes a little more time than... when I have a little more time, we'll dive into the fact that Olmert is being investigated for very serious crimes. Not the crime itself, but his co-defendants are Daniel Abraham and Frank Lowy. Daniel Abraham is Shimon Peres' partner. He was probably responsible for the murder of Wayne Owens. But Frank Lowy owned the real estate of the World Trade Center in New York.
Okay, you hold that thought right there, and we'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Barry Shamish, pick up the story from there.
Now, I'm going to go back to this, if we have the time, because in your archives, I did discuss this last time we spoke. We have to, first of all, look at what's going on with Condoleezza Rice. Now, there are two extremely disturbing events that took place recently. One involved Avigdor Lieberman. Now, I was on Don Wiedemann's show earlier today, very nice guy from Denver, and I was listening to the news from Israel, and there was a new poll. It came out today that 90% of Israelis believe that their Knesset is run by a few businessmen. Now, this is another shocking poll, that Israelis believe that their Knesset is run by the mafia. 90% of them. A real poll, fellow rational people, who in their right, 90% of you believe that your government is in the hands of the mafia, even though actually it is. Nonetheless, you're not going to get 90% of Americans to say so. Israelis are so discouraged and so despondent that this is what they think of the people who rule them. They have no reason to fight anymore. They don't believe in the system that rules them. Now, there was a previous poll where 80% of the population said every politician in the Knesset is crooked. And they asked the 20%, and really that is the minimum. It looks like you could get up to 10% from the latest poll. Nonetheless, which politicians weren't corrupt? The winner was Avigdor Lieberman, the Russian founder of Israel Beiteinu. He got 5% of the remaining 20% as being uncorrupt. Well, he had a meeting with Condoleezza Rice, and when he left that meeting, he announced to Israel that we have got to pull out of Gaza and let 30,000 NATO troops take the place of the Israel Defense Forces. This was treason in a way. We are not defending ourselves. We're bringing in the troops of Southern Europe, those same troops, Italy, Spain, Germany, France, who are now in southern Lebanon. Now we bring them to Gaza. God help us. What did she say to this guy? Now, remember, this is what the Vatican wants.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment as we begin pointing out the betrayal of Israel by its leaders. All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry Shamish is simply pointing out that the Vatican has been wanting to bring certainly foreign troops into the area between Israel and Gaza, and to have the foreign troops occupying Gaza. And now, of course, Condoleezza Rice came over, twisted the arm of one of the Israeli leaders, and he said exactly the same thing. In other words, it would appear that the Condoleezza Rice and the Vatican are working together to bring foreign troops into the area immediately south of Israel in the name of, well, we'll put the troops in there, and whether there'll be southern European NATO troops, under any circumstances, then they will stop the rain of rockets down on the southern cities of Israel. So you pick up the story from there, Barry.
It gets worse. Now, the next one happened 2 days ago. There's a conference in Herzliya. It's a very well-known security conference. They have it every year. And Shlomo Zarbit is representing the government of Kadima Party. He gives a long speech recommending that all the settlements in the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, be evacuated, and that NATO troops replace the IDF in Judea and Samaria. Remember, this is from the government. This is from the Kadima Party. This Shlomo Zarbit is giving a policy that this government is going ahead and using. And then Olmert, 2 days ago, opens his big fat mouth and says, we are now going to get rid of the West Bank. Remember, this is a war against religion. The whole world wants Israel destroyed. But to these Israeli rulers, They're getting the Sabbatean state they wanted. In their mind, they didn't go and create Israel so it would turn religious. In their mind, they have to destroy the religious elements. This is huge in the minds of the founders of Israel, but Israelis don't understand it. Now, I'm going to tell you a little something that's going on in Jerusalem, and again, nobody understands it. There is Paris Square is a traffic circle where Kerene Yesod Street meets King David Street. It is also the home of Terra Sancta, the Vatican's largest building in Western Jerusalem. I actually worked there once as a security guard when Hebrew University ran that building. It no longer does. It's now back in Vatican hands. Now, the French gave Israel a present. This is the 40th anniversary of the Six-Day War. The French agreed to build one-third the Eiffel Tower at Paris Square. That's 80 feet high. And believe me, I don't know where they're going to do it. There's a little bit of a traffic square in the middle. But this is a very big project. Number one, why are they doing it? Opposite the Vatican's Terra Sancta. Why are they doing it there? Number two, since when does France offer Israel anything? It's some sort of Trojan horse, and the Israelis are accepting it. And number three, what do we need an 80-foot statue of Eiffel Tower in the middle of Jerusalem? Why do we need such a thing? This is going up, and I say it again, nothing is by accident when it comes to the Vatican. It's going up opposite Terra Sancta. There are funny things going on with the Vatican. They are on the move. The Crusades are back again. Look, people, I have a DVD. Write me. It's called Zion First, the Vatican's New Crusade Against Jerusalem. My email address is Chamish, Chamish, at netvision, netvision.net, net.il, Chamish at netvision.net.il. We have discussed this issue together already, that Paris, as part of the Oslo Accords, handed the Vatican East Jerusalem. Now, keep this in mind. If you give back Judea and Samaria, you're also giving back East Jerusalem. Peres on his wacky deal, where East Jerusalem becomes the property of the Vatican, guarded by the UN, the thing that he offered the Vatican. Now, I've done this story many times on your show, but it's a clincher. It's one of the rare times where we've caught the guy red-handed. Shimon Peres, in May of 1993, delivered a message to the Pope. It was delivered by Mark Halter, and he offered the Pope hegemony over the holy sites of East Jerusalem, and he offered hegemony all the way to the Atarot Airport. And the actual cable appeared from the Rome Embassy to the Jerusalem Foreign Ministry, appeared on the front page of Haaretz magazine. All right, go to my website and go into the archives there. You'll find it. My website is thebarrychamishwebsite.com. That is the, B-A-R-R-Y-C-H-A-M-I-S-H, website.com. You'll find it. Right now, the Vatican have their man in Israel. He is Shimon Peres. He is running Ehud Olmert. Everything that Olmert says is coming straight from the Vatican. And now we've got two wars going on, and I keep trying to tell people, I don't know which is worse. If the troops, if Shlomo Zarbit's Herzliya speech comes true, then Paris dies completing his mission to the Vatican. And in the meantime, as I said, the religious Jews of Israel die in this war against the religious. And again, I got a phone call from Israel again I spoke to a woman who likes me very much, and she said she was just at the settlement of Sagot. I've spoken there twice. It's a farmer settlement. But nonetheless, she asked a friend that she was, well, went to many rallies with, and she said, what are you going to do when the soldiers show up? And the friend said, we're going to surrender. We're going to walk out of here. And this is what she told me. She says, you don't know. They've given up. It's worked. All the years have worked. Now, she's one of the few people who understand that it was the expertise of the CFR that gave the Sephardic Jews the ability to destroy religious Judaism. These were the happiest people in all of Israel, not 12 years ago. They had the most thriving communities. It was an honor to live in what is known as the settlement. Then they were turned into the most vicious, fascistic thugs in the world. Then the pressure to change these brave and prosperous people into thugs went into mighty, mighty high altimeter. In other words, these good people worldwide were turned into thugs and into thieves, and they were turning good land into great land. Well, actually, it was bad land. They were making Gaza and Judea and Samaria prosper again, and they're gone. They are going to be removed from Israel. Now, this is what people don't understand. Now we'll go back to the person doing the destruction of religious Jews. And this is very, very sad, because Olmert, I think, may be fighting back a little bit. At least maybe in China he was fighting back a little bit. Not much, but something happened. Something big happened in China. But nonetheless, you have to look at Olmert's family to understand he is a standard Frankist Israeli. He's got a homosexual son, a lesbian daughter. The wife and the other daughter side with the Arabs on every issue. He is your standard Frankist Jew. Anyone who thinks that he is right-wing doesn't understand who these Sabbatean Jews are. And it's a real problem telling the people of Israel, the religious people, that there are passages in the Torah that do describe the Eruv Rav, the Jews who were not Jews, who stuck out of Egypt and tried to sabotage Moses. That's who they think they are. That's the word used for the Sabbateans, the Eruv Rav, but they don't understand that this war is real, and they're killing people. And this week they had a marvelous time killing over a dozen religious people. Okay? This is what's going on in Israel right now. Olmert, nonetheless, is more or less just a crook. He's just a dirty crook. And I've written about his thefts over the years. I've written about his life as mayor of Jerusalem, handing this job to this cousin and that job to that cousin. But he was a crook who got involved with two people very, very close to 9/11. Now, what I'm going to say next depends on whether you accept 9/11 or not. I don't. I don't accept the official version. I claim that Building 7, which was knocked down by Larry Silverstein, was done knowing that the building was filled with explosives. He was part of it. He should be investigated. But Ehud Olmert has now got two major business partners who are very high up in this 9/11 suspicion ring. Number one is Menachem Atzmon. They were co-treasurers of the Likud in the 1980s. They were both indicted for embezzlement and graft. Atzmon went to prison, Olmert didn't. When he got out of prison, he was rewarded for keeping his mouth shut. He was given the CEO, the chairmanship of the company that looked after security for both Logan and Newark airports on 9/11. That was partner number one of Olmert's, Menachem Atzmon. Partner number two is Frank Lowy. He is now co-defendant with Olmert. He owns Westview Foods. He owns supermarkets. He is an Israeli who owned the real estate of 9/11. I didn't know he was Olmert's business partner, but he was, according to this indictment. In other words, the leader of Israel is such a filthy mafioso crook that Israel will go down because he will take the orders. He will bring Israel down. And it's a horrible worry. Now, today I spoke to Israel, again, close people, family people. I can't get my family out of there. They are just too Israeli. And I'll tell you, I made a terrible mistake. A terrible mistake. I made my children patriotic Israelis. With everything I did for Israel, they became patriotic Israelis. And I don't know what to do about that. There's nothing I can do about that.
Well, I just hope and pray that they'll be all right. Do you anticipate that there's going to be a recurrence of the war there in the Near East? In other words, there's going to be a battle between the Israelis and the Palestinians, between the Israelis and Hezbollah?
It's going to be, Israel's going to be wiped out in a missile war. What we got last summer was just a Sunday picnic compared to the next war. Last summer, all of northern Israel was abandoned. Now think about that. 2 million people couldn't stay in their houses. They either lived in shelters or rented Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and slept on the beaches. You couldn't live in Haifa. If you can imagine a city, an entire city, you couldn't live in Tzfat or Tiberias. They were all abandoned. That's what happened last summer. It was a tragedy of the highest circumstance was the war Israel fought last summer. Now let's see them fight the war when they use scuds that are bouncing off the streets of Tel Aviv and the airport. It's a horrifying, horrifying thought. And as I said, Israel has done it to its own self. Now remember about the Zionism. Remember what these labor Zionists, what I refer to as Frankist Zionists, remember what they did to get their state. They turned to Germany in 1933, and they signed an agreement called the Transfer Agreement, where the Germans allowed only one group representing the Jews to be legal in Germany. That was the labor Zionists. They had camps. These camps took the best of German Jewry, the youth of German Jewry. And these people were doctors, and they were lawyers, and they were accountants, and they were writers, and they were put in camps, and they were turned into farmers. And then they would get to Israel and forget that they were extremely educated young men and women, and they were taken backwards into time and learned how to milk cows and plant carrots. But they turned the Jews from intellectuals into these kibbutz farmers. This was the grand goal of Zionism, to take educated people and turn them into farmers. And this is what happened to the German Jews. They got transformed into, again, labor Zionism. We're talking about a very perverse type of thinking where the opposite of Torah is true. And I got to tell you, that means there's a lot of fun. But you don't know the stories I grew up with about Golda Meir and her sexcapades, and I heard it from people who got involved in it. You don't know what these people were actually up to. Okay, this is not something the world realizes, that early Zionism was very, very sinful. This is not properly understood. But now this early Zionism, the stuff that's going on right now in Israel, is going to destroy the religious community. Israel turned religious. It wasn't supposed to do that.
Well, first of all, Barry, we're running out of time. I want you to get your website up one more time.
Okay,
how people can get in touch with you?
At lulu.com. Just go to lulu.com. type in my name under search. The latest book is Bye Bye Gas. It costs you 10 crummy bucks to download it, 20 to get it sent to your house. And my website is The Barry Chamish Website. One long word, The Barry, B-A-R-R-Y-C-H-A-M-I-S-H, .com website. Now, I'm very glad we have tomorrow night. I'm looking and I'm thinking to myself, we have more to talk about.
All right, fine. And then, of course, the other thing is, when do you anticipate this attack, the missile attack, to start in Israel? Anytime?
Well, start looking for excuses. And like I say, watch out. We'll talk about the nuclear possibilities and the fact that the word nuclear is a little too much out there right now.
All right, fine. Will you hang on? We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program with Barry Chamish. Well, Barry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I think your people should know that there's a much more important war than the one they're seeing on their TV. They're seeing Qassam rockets hitting Sderot, and they're seeing Iran threaten Israel with a nuclear attack. That's not the war that matters. The war that matters is that Jews are murdering Jews. There were four car crashes this week where religious families who have fought the destruction of Israel lost members of their family. Young boys killed in car crashes. This was the crash that almost killed me. What they described were out of nowhere, the lights appeared and they veered to the right to save themselves and died. This is what happened to me. There's a murderama going on in Israel right now. You're getting these secular Jews and they are killing. They're killing them. These are names I'm giving you. They are killing religious Jews. Only religious Jews. Now, the business with Nissim Zaev at the Knesset, where a religious member of Knesset, who's a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, drinks poison inside the Knesset. This is more than serious right now. That's how Sharon was knocked out by Paris, that he drank tea with him for half an hour inside the Knesset. There is no escape from the mafia that's taken over Israel. There's no escape. You've got to stop the war against the religious. Somehow or another, you have to wake these people up. They're living in a pipe dream. They don't know all these deaths. If you're a Chabad, you're mourning the death of the boys outside of Eilat. If you're from Tepuk, you're mourning the pauper family. If you're again Lubavitch, you're mourning Ralph Ginsburg's grandchild's untimely death, where he's run over by a car that so far has never been found. There's a war going on, and people don't understand it. Young men are dying in this war. And this week, something very important happened. We learned from IsraelJustice.com that there is a special Shabak unit that is guarding only teenage, what they call anti-evacuation. In other words, people who are opposed to the government. There is a unit watching them. And this came out 3 days ago. Everything I said was true. These people have been watched. These people are going to jail, and these people are dying. We
hold
have
up,
to
hold
win
up,
the
Barry,
war
hold
religion.
Up. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you've enjoyed our evening with Barry Chamish. And you can see he's passionate with good reason. I believe, of course, Israel is going to come under tremendous attack. And certainly, without God's intervention, I think that within this year, Israel, as we know it, will be destroyed. Let's hope and pray that I'm wrong. Let's hope that some miraculous thing intervenes and saves the lives of the people there. God bless you, Barry. We'll look forward to having you with us again real soon.
I say tomorrow at 3 o'clock, so I'm soon enough to me.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
See you later. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. All right, that's, of course, Barry Chamish, and he will be on our program tomorrow afternoon. For our afternoon audience, I remember you can pick us up there on the Internet, same shortwave setting, and at RadioLiberty.com on the Internet. Well, this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent on those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America every day, 5 hours a day, on radio stations somewhere, 5 hours a day on the Internet, 9 hours a day on satellite, 4 hours a day on shortwave. But believe me, it's an expensive proposition, and so we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then, of course, if you'd like information on long-term food storage, and, well, I would suggest that you layer in your supplies now, because I believe we're moving into a very difficult time. If you do not have a Berkey water filter, either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, you need to have it. Certainly if you're in an area with fluoridated water, you need to have it. But under any circumstances, for an emergency situation, you need to be able to have a means of getting purified water. If you need things for water storage, why, we certainly can help point you in the direction where you can get a large barrels or water pumps and all the things that you would need if we were moving into a crisis situation. If you were reading the signs of the times, everything suggests that the Bush administration has no intention of pulling out of Iraq. Not only that, but it has every intention of going to war with Iran. In fact, that's what the battle for Iraq was all about. We never went there to give the people freedom. If we did, well, why didn't we simply turn the country back over to the Iraqis after we'd taken Saddam Hussein and removed him from power? No, they did not want a stable Iraq. That's why they disbanded the army and the police force and the civil service. And they closed down about factories, government factories, where 100,000 people had jobs. And now you've got 100,000 people, 100,000 workers who had jobs under Saddam Hussein, and now they have no jobs at all. And the excuse was, well, we don't believe in government-run factories. Why, private industry will come in and buy those factories up and make them run more efficiently. Well, what private industry is going to come in and buy up a factory that's closed down, that doesn't have any workers in it? Would it be logical to believe that the intelligent people like Paul Bremer, who worked with Henry Kissinger, who has been directing American foreign policy in Iraq and directed American foreign policy in Vietnam, that these people would be so stupid that they would not know that when you dissolve the army and the police and the civil service and begin closing down the factories so there were no jobs, that this wouldn't result in chaos? And then, of course, we hear the story of the blowing up the Golden Dome, but we don't know who blew up the Golden Dome, but it's much to suggest that actually there are powerful forces there who wanted the chaos so we could stay to use as a base for our coming war with Iran. And believe me, the military forces are concentrated there. The new squadrons in southern Turkey, various types of refueling tankers in Turkey so that they can fuel the B-2 bombers coming in to hit Iran. We're increasing our forces in the Gulf. We're on the verge of war with Iran, and most people have no idea. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a food catalog, a health catalog, or a regular catalog, 1-800-544-8927.